Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking Truth with Pastor Dan McCluskey. Here's today's message.
Well, hello there, Daniel McCluskey here, and welcome to today's subject, Unlocking Truth on Fear. And I've titled this, Fear No More. That's right, Fear No More. So let's get right into the message. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. That sound mind in the Greek literally means self-disciplined mind, a balanced mind with self-control. That's what God has given us. And he says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. You know, Jesus tells us over and over in his word for us to not fear. Fear not. Jesus says this, fear not. And we see by scriptures, specifically the one I just read, that fear is not from God. Not only does fear not come from God, but he also does not want us to be fearful at all. As a follower of Jesus, we must know how to deal with fear. I mean, this is a thing that we deal with in life because, again, there's this feeling or emotion that's connected to fear. It would be like walking down a dark hallway and all of a sudden someone comes around the corner and you get startled. And that startlement produces this fear within you. But it's not a long-term chronic action of fear. Being startled, it's a feeling or showing of sudden shock or alarm. But fear is long-lasting feeling. It's not just this short-term experience. You know, an example would be years ago I was going fishing with a friend of mine. He was the associate pastor, and we were going down to this pond. And it was in Oklahoma, and ponds are very well known to have snakes. And I'm not afraid of snakes at all, but it's just the feeling of you're going to go through an area that's just filled with brush and weeds, and you can't see the ground in front of you. It's just, you know, 2-3 feet of a mess, and we have to get from point A to point B to the pond. And I remember both of us standing there, and we're big guys. We're not small, and we're both not timid or fearful. And we're looking at each other and thinking, okay, we've got to get to this pond to fish. And both of us are looking at each other like, who's going to go first? It was really funny because, again, we're not afraid of snakes. It's just not seeing what's in front of you. And so we looked at each other and thought, okay, who's going to go first? And we just decided, okay, we're going to count to three and we're going to run through the field. And if we could have had that picture of us running videotaped, oh my gosh, it would have been so funny because we ran like little scared babies. And then we got to the pond and everything was fine. But again, that's not, you know, we're not bound or affected by fear as far as the dangerous place of fear. But at that short term, we are a little fearful there. And as you probably know, there's a big difference between that type of feeling and truly being fearful. And so what we want to do is we want to recognize, we want to lock the truth on fear. And this way we have the knowledge of it and we can overcome something that God has specifically said, I don't want you to have this. It's not from me. And God's wanting us to receive all good and perfect gifts from him. And fear is not created within us. Again, you can have a short time of fear. That doesn't necessarily mean you're fearful. I want to read some info on the dangers of chronic fear, being a person that is fearful. And this is from Medical News Today. And this is very interesting and enlightening as far as the dangers of being fearful. They make the statement that in the area of physical health, fear weakens our immune system and can cause cardiovascular damage, gastrointestinal problems, such as ulcers, irritable bowel syndromes, decreased fertility. It can lead to accelerated aging and even premature death. Now, there's no benefit there of having fear in your life. That is death. That is stealing, killing, and destroying your physical health. It affects memory. Fear can impair formation of long-term memories and cause damage to certain parts of the brain, such as the hippocampus. This can make it even more difficult to regulate fear and can leave a person anxious most of the time. To someone in chronic fear, the world looks scary, and their memories confirm that. The third thing is brain processing and reactivity. Fear can interrupt processes in our brains that allow us to regulate emotions, read nonverbal clues, and other information presented to us. Reflect before acting and act ethically. This impacts our thinking and decision-making in negative ways, leaving us susceptible to intense emotions and impulsive reactions. All of these effects can leave us unable to act appropriately. That's just amazing to see the ugliness of what fear does in the area of our mind, memory, physical health. Even in mental health, it says other consequences of long-term fear includes fatigue, clinical depression, and PTSD. I'm telling you, there is nothing good about fear. So we can't go through the process of, well, it's normal for us to be fearful or normal for us to have fear. No, my friend, it isn't. Again, we're not talking about being startled. We're not talking about moving into something that's unknown and you have just this uneasy feeling. That doesn't necessarily mean fear or living a life of fear. And we need to understand that the threats to our security, if they're real or perceived, they're going to impact our mental health. Our physical well-being is going to be affected. And that's why it's so important to understand what the Bible says concerning fear and our lives. And I know this is something that you come to this subject and you're thinking, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what the Father wants for you. This is what Jesus reveals to us that we are not to walk in. Don't fear. Now, the Greek word used for fear in the scripture I just read is deilia, which means to become a coward or live a timid, fearful life. Fear will literally paralyze you from living the life God has for you. Jesus said, remember this, in John 8:36, I have come to set you free. You cannot live a fearful life and be free. It's impossible. They don't go together. Jesus wants us to live the abundant life, and it is impossible to do it in a fear-filled life. This is why the enemy does everything possible to get you to fear. He understands that once you open the door to fear, you're not going to operate in faith. Faith is the key to your life being free. In Hebrews 11:6, this is God's word translation. No one can please God without faith. Whoever goes to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Oh, that's a beautiful scripture. No one can please God without faith. And don't look at that as some negative. Look at it as a positive, because what is God saying? He's saying faith is mandatory in believing in who I am, but also how I operate, and that is I reward those who seek me. That's beautiful. Look at that scripture. It is something that you really need to meditate on. God is not hurting people. He's helping people. Now notice that faith is belief. Hebrews 11:1 states, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word hoped for is confidently expected. That's belief. Confidently expected. Now, faith is the substance of things confidently expected, the evidence of things not seen. Now, fear is the reciprocal of faith. It's the exact opposite. It operates in the same manner as far as belief. This is why it's so important to be careful in what you allow into your mind. Faith gives you the ability to hope, to see a bright future, to have an expectation of good things in your life. It's freedom. I mean, it is complete freedom. Fear, on the other hand, is going to rob you. It's going to rob you of hope. It's going to seize your life. And as we've read, it's going to affect your mental and physical body. We don't want fear. We do not want fear operating in our lives. Fear is going to rob us of peace and the expectation of good things happening in our lives. This is why the devil is doing everything he can to plant the seeds of fear in the lives of believers. He knows that he can stop the lives of those who live in fear. This is why the word shows us that when we're battling the enemy, we have to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to." So that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Now notice the word strategies. The enemy uses a cunning strategy to deceive and then to destroy those that open themselves up to fear. John 10:10, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, "I have come." And this is what he defines his life, which again is the Father's will. "I have come to give life and life more abundantly." There is nothing abundant life in fear. If you think about it, remember in Genesis, in the third chapter of Genesis, the enemy was convincing Eve, he was manipulating Eve that God didn't really care or love them that much. He was telling Eve that if God truly cared about them, he would have shared with them the whole truth. You know, if you look at 2 Corinthians 11:3, it really gives a very clear picture that what was taking place. And it shows that the devil was targeting Eve's mind. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent." He's trying to manipulate what we believe and get them to question it. That's how he operates in his actions of influencing and impacting believers. He sows seeds that would enter into your thought process, and that could be done many different ways. It could be done from people. It could be done from the media. Just those seeds are being thrown out there, and he's trying to get you to engage in those thought processes. His weapon is deception, and it starts out by questioning God. That's what we see. He shows who he is. This is the foundation, how the enemy operates. This is the foundation. It's the beginning of the whole picture of the human life. And it starts with Adam and Eve being attacked by the enemy's deceptions. And this is the same way today. He's trying to get Christians to question God's word. Does God really mean that? Does God really want you healed? I mean, come on. If he really wanted you healed, why are you dealing with this? If he really wanted you to be out of debt, then why are you in debt? And he just continues on and on and on to try to get us focused, sidetracked on his strategy, his deception. The devil raises doubts, and just as he raised doubts in Eve's mind concerning the truthfulness of God's word, he got her to question God's goodness. And this is what fear does. It affects the mind, which affects the heart, and it will produce a negative imagination. And our imagination, it's our life's movie in which we believe. We start processing thought. We start allowing that thought to produce pictures, a movie within ourselves, and we start following through with those thoughts, that imagination. And what's interesting is faith and fear use the imagination the same way. And that is why it's imperative that you don't allow fear in. Faith is, again, it's the same operation. You see God's word, you see God's truth, you start meditating on it, and that meditation starts producing a picture. If you're dealing with sickness, dealing with disease, and you're standing in faith of God said, I've healed you, and by the stripes, you are whole. And you start processing that thought. And as you do, you start seeing yourself healed and whole, even though you don't feel it. And I've gone through this many, many times in my life. And I'm telling you, this is the process that God wants us to understand that is important to recognize as a believer. It's the life of faith, not a one action of faith one time, the life of faith. We believe, even though you can't see it, we believe. 2 Corinthians 2:11 shows us that we shouldn't be ignorant of the enemy's devices, how he works, his strategies. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. Adam and Eve believed the devil over God, and the next step was fear. That's what happened. This is what's so amazing. They opened the door to the enemy, the devil. He had a strategy to get them sidetracked. They had everything. I mean, the garden was perfect. They didn't need that one tree. They had millions that were perfect. But what did he do? He convinced them of a lie. Adam and Eve believed the devil over God. And the next step, again, fear. Look, let me read Genesis chapter 3, 9 and 10. This is so interesting. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden." Now look at this. "And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." I was afraid. That is the result of what happens when you allow the enemy to plant seeds in your mind and you start believing that truth, which again is a lie. But if you're accepting it, you're creating it as a truth. And when you allow fear to stay in your life, we are giving place to the devil. Fear gives the enemy an advantage over us. And the word advantage here means that he is defrauding us of freedom. We are literally being robbed of what Jesus came to give us. That's why the Bible says, do not give place to the devil. That's Ephesians 4:7. Don't give place to the devil. We should not give the enemy a foothold in our lives. We've got to stop fear now. Okay, so how do we do this? Well, by knowledge. That's how we do it. We have to receive information. And that information we then allow into our lives and into our heart. And once that information becomes into the heart area, it now then is able to be acted upon. And God's word shows us how to deal with this. Remember, the enemy is trying to plant a seed of fear in our hearts. This means that the thoughts are going to come. You're going to have negative thoughts. You're going to have fearful thoughts. But what are we going to do with those thoughts? The thought isn't the fear. It's the action of the thought. That's where fear is involved in the negative effects. So I don't want you to get, you know, all freaked out because you get a wrong thought. Wrong thoughts come. Understand, wrong thoughts come, but that doesn't make you wrong. And that is, again, another area where many Christians fail because they assume that the negative thought means that they're negative, and that's not true. It's what we do with those thoughts. If we allow the thought to stay and we start meditating on that thought, that's when it becomes something negative. And we've got to take these thoughts captive. And that's what Scripture says. We're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Not some thoughts, every thought captive. Listen, we don't just exist in life. We are in control of our lives. And that's negative or positive. And you can be living a fearful, just a bad existence in life. And the reason why is again, from the past, how we've been trained, how we've been raised, but it bad or good, it still must be understood that it is the process of what we think, what we've believed, how we've seen life, as an example to ourselves, but it doesn't have to stay that way. You can relearn life. I know the emotions. I know the baggage is strong, and it creates just a feeling of you can't become free, but that's not true. It is a lie. That's why Jesus says, I've come to give you freedom. I mean, he's talking to us. He's talking to the world that nobody is free. Nobody has freedom. And he's saying, I have it. It's for you. So we have to allow this knowledge to come into our lives so we can become free, totally free from this demonic action of destruction in our lives. Again, we're not existing. We are in control, and it's time that we take control of our lives over fear. Now, let's look at these scriptures, and I believe that they're going to help us in victory over fear for sure. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Let no one say when he is tempted. Don't no one say when you are tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Oh, come on. You know what? This is point blank truth in the Bible. And you don't know how many times I've seen preachers on TV or on the radio making comments that God uses tests, temptations, trials. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. This religious goofiness has to stop. We've got to look at God's word and allow God's word to penetrate our lives over our experiences. God does not tempt anyone. And the Greek word tempt is the same one for test or trial. It's the same Greek word. God does not himself tempt, test anyone. But each one is tempted. Here we go. This is the key. When he is drawn away by their own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It brings forth destruction. It brings forth no productivity in your life, no production. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Now, that's the word. James is, you know, when I look at these things, I also look at the context of Scripture, as well as I like to even see the history behind the group of people that James was talking to. And he was writing to a group of believers that were suffering for their commitment to Jesus. And in this suffering and in the trials and in the things they were dealing with, they started to wonder, is he the source of the problem? Interesting. Isn't that sort of the way we do things today? We start thinking, I wonder, could this be God? Is God causing this? That doesn't come from anything other than religious teaching and the enemy. That is not biblical. It's not in Scripture. It's time to unlock the truth in this area and understand that this stuff is not coming from God. It is not. It's coming from this flesh nature, this old nature, the lust, the desires in this nature. It's coming from our past training. It's coming from this whole world system and its pull, and it's coming from the enemy, and that is the truth. But God's word is showing us we can be free from this. We can be free. And it's important to understand this. Listen, those believers back in James's time, they didn't have the Bible to read like we do. They started drawing their own conclusions of why they were being tempted, why these tests were having, why are things going bad from their experiences, what they were going through. And that is what's happening. And what has happened in the church, we're defining God by our experiences. We look at ourselves and go, I'm not that bad, but why is this happening? And because we don't want to see it in God's word, we start believing, we draw our own conclusions that this has to be God. So what does James do? He hears about the issues. He hears about what they're saying. So he writes to them so that they will have truth, knowledge, to set them free. Set them free from what? From the lies they are living in. All right, let's take a look, closer look at what he says. First, he establishes that temptations, all right, the tests and trials, they're going to come. That's important to understand. They come. That is something you have to recognize. Because what happens is when they do come, again, the religious concept is it's God. No, he's just saying this happens in life. They're going to come. Then he states, don't blame God for them. It isn't him. He doesn't work that way. Don't blame God. Now, second, he shows where this is coming from. And it comes from what they're desiring in their minds and hearts. Now, this can be lust, it can be fear, it can be different things, it can be training. What is occupying their mind? Because what occupies your mind is what controls your life. Again, they didn't have this New Testament revelation. They've lived this religious life. They've received Jesus now. And so they're dealing with so much as far as how to deal with the attacks and the things that are happening to them. This is the early church. And again, it's James coming in and saying, listen, I'm going to help you. This is the information that can bring freedom. Now, if we look again, you notice the word enticed. So he says that these desires from our mind and hearts, the things that we're dealing with, entice us. And the word entice literally means to bait someone. That would be like if you've ever gone fishing and used a worm, you put a worm on a hook to fish with, that's being enticing to a fish. These desires become a bait, and they're trying to entrap us. And once we're entrapped by them, we're going to conceive. And then what happens? Conception. Then we give birth to sin. And sin is missing the mark. When we're entrapped by the enticement, we will then conceive. Conceive is conception. It's the place where the seed enters to the egg. It's seed planted in the ground. And that process then has the ability to start the birthing process. The birthing process to sin, missing the mark. Missing the mark of what? Missing the mark of what God's word says and what we believe. So we get sidetracked. Exactly. We get off of truth. And to conceive, you have to be close to someone, right? This is the same picture that James is showing them. He's saying that when these temptations come and you don't cast them out of your thought process, you're going to get real close to them. You're going to get close to them. And ultimately, you're going to give birth to what? The wrong way of thinking. The process is there. Now notice, this isn't quick. It's this process. And that's why we have to take control of our thoughts. When we continue to think wrong, it will continue to grow in us until ultimately it will bring forth death. Now, I'm not just saying all of a sudden you die. We read what happens when fear stays in our lives. It breaks down the body. It breaks down the mind. It's bringing forth death in these areas. This is a meaning that sin will ultimately bring destruction in our lives. Listen, let's listen to how Jesus talks about the devil. John 8:44, for you are the children of your father, the devil. He's talking to the religious people. Now, again, these are not people that are walking around with, you know, black Satanist outfits and going around, you know, saying, hey, we worship the devil. These are the highest level of religious people on the planet during that time. These are the people that everybody looked at and said that these are the ones closest to God. And he says, what did Jesus say? You're of your father, the devil. You're children of the devil. To the religious guys, the ones that dress Christian, the ones that talk Christian, the ones that, quote, look so spiritual. And he says, what? No, you're not. You love to do evil things that he does. I've known so many Christians over the years that have no control over the area of how they speak. And they're always using their speech for destruction, to gossip, to speak evil, to bring division. And I'm talking about believers. And Jesus would probably say the exact same thing. You're following the enemy. You're acting like children of the devil because you love to do the evil things he does. Now notice what he said. You love to do. And Jesus clarified, he gave us the understanding of what love is, because you want to know those that love me? Loving me is hearing and doing my words. Hearing, receiving, and then applying my words. And so he says the same thing. You love, you hear the enemy. You hear religion, religious instruction, and you apply it. You start doing it. Jesus goes on to say, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. He's always, look at this, hated truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, this is how he operates. He cannot speak truth. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Oh my gosh. How can you believe anything from him? And what Jesus is saying, that if you listen to religious people, you're listening to the enemy. That is the words of our Lord. Let's pay attention to them. Listen, friend, the devil will make a lie seem so enticing that we start beginning to meditate on them. And that's because we don't have truth. We don't have knowledge. We have to secure our lives with knowledge. And knowledge is a process. It takes time. God understands that. That's why we have to recognize the responsibility of what is this Christian faith? It is life. It's not acting a certain way. It's living life a certain way. It's the process of living life. We don't connect to complete truth right away, automatically. We learn truth. We don't learn algebra instantly. We learn 1 + 1 = 2, and we build upon these foundational truths to get to this final stage of what necessary math you might need in life. And if it's not math, it could be something else. But it starts with the elementary principles of truth. It's same way with God, same way with His Word. He understands that. He knows that. He created us this way. So there's this process. So we have to understand it takes time. It takes time. But we can't allow the lies, the enemy's lies, to become reasonable in our hearts, that we start embracing them. We need to get rid of the thoughts that produce fear. We cannot allow fear to get deep into our minds. Again, because if it does, then we're going to conceive that lie. It's going to become real in our lives. And eventually, following the scripture, that lie will give birth to destruction. It's clear. The psychologists, medical science sees the destruction of fear in our lives. This is why James says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. Know that we know now how the spirit of fear operates. We have the knowledge now. And because we have the knowledge, we can defeat it. Tell yourself that fear does not belong to you. What we've heard, what we've seen in God's Word shows us that this is not the will of the Father. This is what Jesus does not want us to live like. No fear. I want you to make a confession with me. Say this after me. I am a child of God. The Father loves me greatly. He sent Jesus to this earth to not only die for me, but to give me an abundant life now and for eternity. Therefore, I will believe God's word over my feelings and circumstances and confess with the knowledge of God's word that fear has no place in my life. Fear has no place in my life. Jesus, my Lord, tells me not to fear. The Father shows me that it does not come from Him, but from the enemy, the devil. So I confess what I know to be true. Fear has no place in me. Fear, leave now in Jesus' name. Now. No fear here. Praise the Lord. Oh my gosh, God is so good. God is so good. Now I want you to, if you don't have time right now, I want you to listen to it again. Listen to this broadcast again and just think about, meditate on God's word, the whole truth of what we see about fear and how it does not belong to us. Listen, my friend, from this point on, do not give place to the devil. When a fearful thought comes in, Don't entertain it. Cast it away right away and start speaking the truth. No fear here. That thought comes in. I'm not talking about a start. Let's say you get startled. And then all of a sudden, you're in your house, it's a little dark, and you get startled. Maybe something, the dog or whatever makes a noise, and you're like, whoa. And you got startled. That's fine. But then what goes on past that? Can a seed enter in and go, huh, I wonder, is there someone here? Is someone else? Is someone trying to break? And all of a sudden, that's what happens. We start allowing our imaginations to create something that's not there. That is the dangers of fear. So let's knock that fear right out of our lives. And once you're startled, hey, okay, whoop, that got me. Laugh it away. And don't allow any fearful thought to enter in after that. Just laugh it away and say, thank God, I don't live a fearful life. And overcome it. Come on. Have a great life, you fearless one. You are victorious, and this is your success, living the victorious life in Christ Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Unlocking Truth with Pastor Dan McCluskey. To hear more encouraging messages just like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. If you love what you received, please consider rating it and sharing it with your friends and family. For more great content just like this, visit PastorDanMcCluskey.com.